Today's New Testament reading is from 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children, if you do good, and do not fear anything that is frightening. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, 8 persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers, having been subjected to him. This is the word of the Lord.
During World War II, a submarine sank off the coast of Provincetown. Divers were sent to look for the sub. When they found it, they wondered if anyone was alive. Finally, they heard a gentle tapping. Listening carefully to the sound, they recognized the dots and dashes of Morse code. There was a brief message. Is there any hope? Is there any hope? People all over the world wonder just that. Is there any hope? And if there is, where do I find it? Most people really have no hope. For most people, hope is nothing more than a half-hearted wish. I hope we get some rain. I hope we have a white Christmas. I hope my son's surgery goes well. We hope for things, but those are just wishes. And there are those times when our hopes are dashed. Many years ago, the phone rang one spring morning in our home. It was one of my members. Her son had been in an accident at work, and she needed a ride to the hospital. As we headed to the hospital, she wrung her hands with worry. I hope he's okay, she said. I hope it's nothing serious. Sadly, her son had been killed at work. She hoped, she had her wishes, that he'd be okay. But he wasn't, and her son was dead. We have our wishes, and we call that hope. But if that's all that hopes are, just wishes, then we don't have anything. And when those hopes are dashed, our lives fall apart. Is there any hope? Is there any real hope? Peter says, yes, there is real hope. Always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that is in you, says Peter. This hope is not some wish that we'd like to have hope in. This hope is something solid. This hope is something we can build our lives on. This hope can literally change us. Our hope is in Christ Jesus. We have hope in the death of Jesus. Jesus' death wasn't a tragic death or a senseless death. His death had a purpose. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Do you know why our lives seem so empty? Do you know why they often seem hopeless? Because we're separated from God. We keep him at a distance from us. But Jesus, in his death, has reconciled us to the Father. He brings us into God's presence and makes us his children. We have hope in Jesus' resurrection. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, says Peter. What a powerful hope. For hope goes beyond this world and into eternity. Because Christ is risen from the dead, all those who trust in him will rise as well. Death is not the end, for Christ has conquered it. In his life, we have life. In his resurrection, we have hope. We have hope in his ascension. Peter says that Jesus has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. Because Jesus died our death, because he rose victorious from the grave, now everything is under him. Just before he ascended to heaven, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Everything is under his control. And that is a powerful hope. You know, sometimes we wonder about life. Sometimes we wonder about death. Sometimes we wonder what's going on in our crazy world. But in all those times, we have confidence because our lives are under Jesus' rule. And he commands everything. And nothing can happen unless he allows it. And he will always work to guide us through it and grant us strength each day. This hope becomes ours in baptism. Peter talks about Noah and the ark, and he says that this water, the water of the flood, is a picture of baptism, which now saves you. Baptism doesn't save us by washing dirt from our bodies, but by washing sin from our lives. Baptism ties us to Jesus and his resurrection. In our baptism, Jesus marks us with his name, and in his name, we have hope. Is there any hope? Yes, there is. It's not a wish. It's not a dream. It's not something we merely hope will happen. We have a firm and solid hope in Christ Jesus and his resurrection. Our hope is founded on his death, resurrection, and ascension. God gives us that hope in baptism, and he renews our hope in absolution. And our hope will be realized when Christ returns. Is there any hope? Yes. We have hope in Christ. Amen.